Parshas Vayigash, in the entire Torah, I doubt there's any particular story that quite has a storyline that ends as climactic as this week's parasha with Yosef and his brothers. This week's parasha, where it all begins, where Yosef gets his brothers jealous. His brothers want to kill him originally. The brothers put him in a boyer. The brothers send down to Mitzrayim. Yosef is imprisoned. Yosef gets out of jail through giving over the correct analysis of the dreams to the Sorim in prison, eventually taken to Paroi. Eventually the brothers come. Yosef originally subjects them to accusations that they're spies, etc., etc. And there's a backwards and forwards over here. Yosef does a whole plot to entrap them, to show that they are thieves. And Yehuda stands up, and this is a whole dusiach, there's a whole discussion over here. Yaakov and Yosef over here, the Midrashim talk, many kulmasim, many papers, many pens have been broken, and the amount have been discussing between Yehuda and Yosef, that it's the two kings standing up roaring at each other. You've got Yehuda, you've got Yosef, all of them is destroyed in time, it's Mitzrayim, many very fascinating Midrashim, but there's passion in what's going on. And you're talking about Pekuach Nefesh Mamash, you're talking about Yehuda threatening Yosef, Menashe stamps his foot, the whole place shakes. And you're dealing here with a very, very powerful case. You hear Yosef accuses them, eventually he bursts into tears, he couldn't hold himself back, he goes out, he comes back in, and then we have, from one second to the other, we're brothers who are imagining that Binyamin, the beloved youngest brother, is accused now, is going to be taken as a prisoner, and how to go back to Yaakov Avinu, and Yehuda thinks he's going to give up his Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh for all this. All of a sudden, Yosef says like this. Vayoyime Yosef, Perik Mem Hei, Pasuk Gimel, Prolemus Climatic, Sanitaris Dibris, the climatic Pasuk, the entire story. Vayoyime Yosef Alochim, Yosef says to his brothers, Mother Yitzchak, didn't shout. Vayoyime Yosef, he said, Alochim to his brothers, Ani Yosef, I am Yosef. Choyd Avichai, is our father still alive? V'lo yochlu echov lanis oisoi. And the brothers could not answer him, they were speechless. Ki nivhalu miponov, because they were embarrassed, says Rashi, Pnei Busha. They were so embarrassed they could not answer him. Now there's a medrash. Now this medrash is one of the Balei Musar's favorites. Abba koin bad lo ime. Everyone who's learnt Musa for a few years knows this medrash. Abba koyim badlo, yes, Vensi? Abba koyim badlo ime. What does he say? Oy lonim yoyma din. Oy lonim yoyma tzechocha. Woe to us. In the end of the days, will it be a yoyma din, the day of judgment? Oy lonim yoyma tzechocha. Woe to us, the day of tzechocha. What is tzechocha? Tzechocha is rebuke. Yosef ktonam shevashvatim hayu. Yosef was the youngest of the shvatim. And his brothers were not able to stand up against him when he came to Techocha. Shnema, the Pasuk says, the whole Pasuk, Lekishyor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vikuach L'chol Echol L'chol L'fi Mashahu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands up and is Mechiach each person and rebukes each person according to what he is. Shnema, it brings a Pasuk, Al Achas Kam V'Kama, how much more will we be embarrassed? In other words, here we have Yosef. Who was he? He was a little one of the Shvatim. And he said something that was so powerful that he kept his brothers completely speechless. These people, Shimon and Levi were powerful people. Yehuda was a powerful person. Even all of them. They were shifted car. And they couldn't open their mouths. They could not open their mouths. They were completely stumped. Couldn't open their mouth. And the Kodesh Shavachit. How much more we, in front of Kodesh Baruch, how much we will be embarrassed. Now, just on a very, very understanding of this Pasuk, or the way the Balei Musar expresses Pasuk, I was always impressed by the fact that you have a regular posuk can knock you back so much. In other words, you have to have the right glasses. You've got to be able to be tuned into the correct frequency of Musa to be impressed by such a posuk. After the Twin Towers was knocked down, a year later, about 6 months later, I was fundraising in England. And I was feeling around. That's about a year later. I was feeling around. I wanted to hear the spread of ideas, of people's opinions, of world events. So I asked him, you know, what do you think, what's your message from the Twin Towers? What's your message? You know, what's this like, what's the message that hit home? Obviously it's a very, very impressive phenomena, something that's really serious. What has it told you? You know, what does it mean to you? So one guy says to me, you know, we've really got to fight Arab and Muslim, terrorism. We've got to fight Muslim terrorism. Another one said to me, I've always been talking about the dangers of building high towers. There's always this danger, you know, I've always, for years I've been saying, finally, you know, I can see that you're right, yeah? One fellow said to me, you know, it's a fact that America not strong enough against the rest of the world. Yeah, how many people actually got the message? Have we got the real message? I don't know, but obviously it's a message from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yodi, just in Yom Neroim. Yeah, how Kodesh Baruch Hu can take man's power and completely smash it by through Bechira. Okay, that's a whole idea, it's a phenomenal idea. But each person sees something else. Abba Kohen Bala got to this possible. Instead of saying, wow, you know, how lovely, Yesh has now revealed himself, he sees here a message of Nitzchiv. He sees a message that's going to last forever and ever. How we are going to stand the Yom HaDin, how we're going to stand eventually in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that is frightening. And that is a message one has to see from a Pasuk. Just remember a couple of Achronim said in Perik Mandala Lamadalad, the Pasuk said, Ke'eich ele al ovi v'anar nene iti. How do I go to my father? Referring to Yaakov Avinu, v'hanar and Binyamin nene iti is not with me. Yeah? So the Balamusa says, Ke'eich ele al ovi, how do I come to my father in Shemayim? V'hanar nene iti. But I don't have the children. I don't have Talmidim with me. When I haven't taken the kids off the street. I haven't taken those v'hanar, the little naronim. You know, these kids are off the derech, these people aren't from Banar and Nene Itio aren't with me. How can I go, Eich Elo Ovi, how can I come to Rabbeinu Shlodom? Rabbi Eli used to say, Eich Elo El Ovi, how can I come to my father, Vahanar, the years of Narus, the years of youth. If I did not use my years of youth correctly, how can I come to Rabbeinu Shlodom? Banar and Nene Itio, I don't have the youth. But they see the take apostle can attach it in the correct way. Yeah, attach it in the correct way. So this is the first lesson, is possible to see the apostle. But the question is, which all the Bali Musa ask, what was so amazing about what Yosef said? What was so stumping? What is so speechless? What did he say to them already? And Yosef, wow. Okay, Yosef, what made them so embarrassed? What was the teichacha over here? All the Bali Musa asked this question. And through the years, we've been answering in different ways. This year, it's more of a synopsis. It's putting them all together. And coming out with a derech. That is a three-pronged derech, understanding exactly what Yosef is talking to his brothers. The Beis Halevi asks like this. The Beis Halevi says, what's Yosef asking now? Ha'oid Avichai. All along they've been talking about Yaakov Avinu being alive, and Yaakov Avinu sending him, and sending my father, and Abdecha Ovi, and talking about your father, who's my father, who's the Eved. And now suddenly Yosef asks, is your father alive? We've been talking about the father all along. He just said the pasuk before that. Banan in iti, the eich el el ovi. How to go to the father? Banan in iti. What are you talking about now? Is the father still alive? Of course he's still alive. What silly question is that? You know, such a climactic moment. You start talking about your father. You talked about that. Number one. Number two asks the Beis Halevi. The medrash seems to be in the wrong order. Whenever you have a court case, generally, if you have the finale of a court case, what happens is the judge judges the case, okay? Then he gives you a Musa Drasha, yeah? And he says that considering the facts and the knowledge of the situation and the abhorrence of the act, therefore, I have decided to sentence XYZ to 15 years in jail. Yeah? So what comes first? The Tzechacha, and then the din. Yeah, first comes the techocha, and then the din. So why is it say over here, oylonim yoyim hadin, oylonim yoyim hatechocha? Woe to the day of judgment, woe to the day of techocha. The din comes after the techocha. So why talk about the techocha after the din? Okay, that's after the Beis Halevi. So he says something extremely frightening. He says something very, very frightening. It is very difficult for Kodesh Baruch Hu to judge any human being. It is very difficult for Kodesh Baruch Hu to judge any human being for various different reasons. Number one, HaKodesh Baruch Hu has got to be seen to be a Rachamon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be seen to be some, to be a force that is not doing anything against Seichel. Okay? If a person is, gets judged too harshly, then it looks as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being too harsh on him. If a person is judged in a way that he himself, the person himself, does not see the judgment to be a din emes, don din emes, it's menes chil Hashem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges every person in a particular way, he judges a person according to themselves. In other words, let's say somebody comes and asks you for an hour of your time to help clean up the base of Medrash. Okay? So you say, I'd love to help you. And, you know, I'd really love to help you, but an hour between 2 and 3, I need to go to sleep. If I don't go to sleep, I'm finished. Fine? So Sarech Mitzvah, fine, you go to sleep. The next day, your friend calls you that he's in Yerushalayim, he's only here for a couple of days, he wants to go out with you in a pizza, locally in a pizza here in Bet Shemesh. Your best friend, right? What do you say to him? Yeah, sure, no problem, you know. That afternoon Seder goes very, very well. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, one second, you said on Wednesday that you can't learn that extra hour. Okay, fine. Is that true? Yes. You said on Thursday they can go out for the pizza and you learn fine the whole afternoon. So Thursday is Moichiach. Thursday shows up that Wednesday was a Sheker. Somebody comes to you and says to you, I've got a very, very important case, it's a stocky case. Very important stocky case. Can you please give me 100 Shekel? 100 Shekel, you must be joking. I can't afford 100 Shekel. Fine. You can't. 3 days later, you're walking down some mall somewhere and you find some gadget for your phone that costs 150 Shekel. Useless gadget, and you buy it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes that 150 shekel gadget and says to you, one second, you said you couldn't do it 100 shekel, you can't afford it, but you bought that gadget of 150 shekel. Therefore what happens is, your din is based on Teichocha. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oylonim yoyim adin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a din. How does he do the din? By being moichiach you, by showing you how you've lived your life b'sheker. You understand? And therefore this is something very, very worrying. A person contradicts himself. A person goes through life, I can't, until it comes to something else and it suddenly can. It's too much and suddenly it's not too much. That is a very, very worrying fact. And that happens again and again and again. I can't afford to give tzedakah, he buys himself a new car. I haven't got koyach to, you know, I've got to go to bed now, I can't learn now. The next night, and suddenly, 10 minutes later, he gets a phone call, he's speaking to his friend for 3 hours on the phone. What's up? There's an element there of absolutely contradicting yourself. Says it's Beis HaLevi, but there's more than that. What happens in a case where you haven't contradicted yourself in this world? You have nothing in the same position that actually contradicts you. Yeah? You haven't got a case where it's time for an extra hour and it catches you doing an extra hour somewhere else. We haven't found a case where it contradicts you. What does he do? So Kodesh Baruch Hu does something else. It's brought down in the Novi that Nosan HaNovi went to Dovid HaMelech. And Nosan HaNovi went to Dovid HaMelech and said, Dovid HaMelech, tell me, what happens in a case where you have a rich man and a poor man, and a poor man only has one sheep, and the rich man takes that sheep and takes it and slaughters it for his own party? What's the din? What should he do to this person? So Dovid HaMelech said, such a terrible thing. Dovid HaMelech said, if that's the case, he says, Chai Hashem ki ben mavus ha'isha o'isa zois. A person does such a thing, liable to get killed. Terrible thing. Says Nosan HaNovi, Dovid HaMelech, who did you just take now? Bathsheba. You know, you've got a few wives. Who did you take him from? Uriah Achiti. Uriah Achiti had one wife. This poor fellow took his only sheep. Dovid HaMelech got hold. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is Mechiach asked, he asked, what do you think of such a case? And he throws it out at you. The way you answer and the way you judge, that is how you're going to be judged. Okay? Now, this is Teichocha. This is Reim Hadin. It's exactly how it's going to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take you up into Shemayim and he's going to say, listen, I need your advice over here. Come on, I need your advice. What happens if Reuven goes along and speaks and embarrasses Shimon in public? I'll show you an example. Here's Reuven and Shimon embarrassed. What do you do in such a case? Terrible. How disgusting. How can you do such a thing? Such a thing, for sure, putting in 10 years in Gehenna. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, there's Photoshop here. Let's switch ahead. Brum, brum, change ahead. Here you have, it's you embarrassing your wife. Okay? 10 years of Gehenna, you want to sign on that? Fine, off you go. Okay, kind of 10 years in Gehenna. But that is the idea. The idea is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rachman and Son, uses your judgment, your Teichacha, and the Din. Says Yosef to his brothers. Yosef said, you told me just now, Ki eich ele el ovi, how can I go back to my father? Vahanar inena iti, I don't have my little brother with me. How can I go back? How can I do it to my father? How can I possibly do it? How can I possibly go empty-handed back to my father and take away one child from my father? Says Yosef, Ani Yosef, Hoida Michai. Says Yosef, what are you talking about? I am Yosef. I am the Yosef. I am another son of your father, and your father is still alive now. Sheker. That is Teichacha. You're telling me you cannot possibly do it to your father. The consequences would be too harsh to take away Binyamin from your father. It would be too much to take away a child from your father. Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. Hoida Michai, your father is still alive. You did exactly that all those years ago. What are you talking about? That is Teichacha. And it's impossible to answer that. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has caught you at your own game. That was Yosef. There's no but and if. He actually called them at... What about Yosef? Ani Yosef. Yeah, Ani Yosef. Enachanamu. It changes slightly. Ani Yosef. Ani Yosef. Yeah? You got a problem with me? Fine, you got a problem with me. But Hoida Vichai. Do you think about your father? Do you think about the consequences? What about your father? Hoida Vichai. Do you think about your father's life? Do you think what you're doing then? Now you're being very, very... calculated, and you've been making cheshbonos, and what about Binyamin, and what about Yaakov? Wonderful. But then, what about 22 years ago? You made no cheshbonos then. What about that? Have you done tshuva for that? Wow. That was it. No comeback. No return. No answer. They've completely been caught to their own game. That is Yom HaTochacha, that's Yom HaDin. It's impossible. Impossible to get out of that.
Doesn't brother say, we can't do it now because father loved his son 22 years ago? It's worse now than it was then.
He didn't say it now. You can't go back to our father with no child away. That's exactly what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear, we cannot do this to our father. Okay, you can't, it's wrong, right? What about 22 years ago? This is the first lesson. Teichacha is the idea of making sure that you look at the result of your action. In other words, even if I do something now, I don't give tzedakah now, which is not so terrible, but you should just know if you do something else tomorrow, that could be mechiach on what you did today. You have to look at the next stage. You've got to play mental chess. You've got to see where the moves are going to bring you and where they're going to trip you up in the future. Each thing can be completely separated. It can be 15 years down the line. But you've got to know that one act can prove up the other act to be complete sheker. People contradict themselves time and time again. Children are very, very good at showing contradictions. You know, I was in the car with somebody and... There's a new Citroen, right? So they have right in the middle of the dashboard, they've got this big digital speedometer, right? Everyone can see, the whole car can see a digital speedometer. A little French thing to do. Anyway, so, you know, really nasty. So the whole car can see the guy's driving 100. Little pipsqueaks says on the back, Daddy, what's the speed limit? So the father says, be quiet. No, Daddy, what's the speed limit? 80. So why does it say in the speedometer 100? Because it's not working. You know, how much can you get away with this? Right? Yeah, our fathers do that. I was in a shul where a father was talking during davening, and his child was talking during davening too. So the father says, Ashtil, be quiet, don't talk. So the child said to him, Obadire, you're talking. So he gives him a slap. Ich bin älter, I'm older. Yeah. Okay, that's disgusting, right? But I'm talking about a case where children can contradict. You know, a child comes and he says, Daddy, can you sign and learn with you an hour on Shabbos? Father, I can't sign and I've learned with you an hour on Shabbos. It's not Sheker, it's Sheker, I can't do such a thing. So, oh really? Yeah, a few months ago, when we were going between America and Canada, they asked us by the customs there, I said, do you have any mail? And he said, no, we were sitting on it. Right? That is, children see contradictions. It stays in their heads. It stays in their heads. We are going to get contradicted by that. We're going to make ourselves dig our own graves unless we're very, very careful, plan ahead. Yosef sent a golos to Yaakov Avinu. Why did he send a golos to Yaakov Avinu? He sent carriages to Yaakov Avinu from Mitzrayim. Why? To remind him of the Egla Rufo. The last thing I want is Egla Rufo. What's Egla Rufo? What is Egla Rufo? Egla Rufo is a case where you have a person killed between two cities. Right? And we don't know who killed them. So the elders of the city, of the close ones, are going to come out and say, Yedeinu lo shofchot dam hazeh. We did not kill this person. Ask the Gemara. Do you really think that his elders killed a person? Tamei Chachamim killed this person. Says Elo, that we went out and we gave him all the bread and water he needed, and we escorted him out the correct way. And therefore, the fact that he died is not our fault. So what's the lesson behind Egla Rufa? Egla Rufa is all about, if you didn't do that, you should just know that you're responsible. If you did not make a society where the person felt he's cared for, where the person was cared for, he never went off with a packed lunch, he never escorted him out of the city, if he gets killed, it is your fault, because he did not feel that he's strong enough to stand up against this person who's out to kill him. On the other hand as well, you've got to educate people. If you have murderers running around your city, why are you giving groshes in shul speaking about Benon L'Chaveiro? You're responsible. That is Egla Rufa. The first lesson of Yosef, Ani Yosef Oida Vichai, is poshut realizing that everything a person do has an effect. Everything a person does is going to create a ripple effect that can take him and dig his own grave years and years ahead. And the most important thing is, no, said the Bali Musa, how to get out of this? One way to get out of this. Be don lekav schus. If you train yourself to be don kav schus in this world, you'll be don kav schus in the next world. And that's when a Kodesh Baruch Hu shows you Reuven and Shimon, Reuven embarrassing Shimon, you'll say to him, the Rebbe Shalom, it must be a good reason. Maybe Reuven was tired, maybe, leave him, it must be a good reason. Hashem said, okay, don kav schus, we'll judge you the don kav schus. That's the only way to get out of this. But the first lesson is, Teuchocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Mechiach you by your own actions. Don't contradict yourself. Don't dig your own grave. Because ultimately, you are your own judge. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Olu Yom HaDin, Olu Yom HaTeuchocha. Ho'eda Vichai, is our father still alive? Did you think of that 22 years ago? Do you think how much our father suffered all the 22 years? You didn't think about that then. That's a terrible thing. There's nothing you can answer that. That's the first way of looking at this. The second way of looking at this is the element of Yosef Kotn Sheba Achiv. Yosef, the smallest of the brothers. Now let's think what they were thinking at that time. This 17-year-old, he's doing his hair. You know, he's going to these hairdressers, right? Misalsa b'sa'ari. Misalsa b'eino, you know, he's getting doing his eyes up, did with his eyes, probably got, you know, tinted contact lenses, yeah? Why is he doing this? The Mephoshim bring down and did it because he was pruning himself for Malchus. He knew he was going to be the Melech. And to be a Melech, you know, to be on BBC or CNN, you know, you've got to get makeup. You have to prune yourself for Malchus. He did it for the sake of Malchus. It's Narus, I'm not going into that, but it was done for Malchus. He believed in himself. He said over the dreams, Rabbi Yisrael, I'm just telling you, I'm the king here. And he also, silly kid. Annoying little brother. Driving us crazy about, you're the king. You're the king. You're the youngest of Rachel. Do me a favor. Go away. God driving us crazy. And in fact, they said he's a raider, so they've got to kill him because he's driving them all mad, right? Silly little boy. They judged him. They judged him, and they judged him incorrectly. They judged him incorrectly. Rabbi Elia used to say, I heard it on the tape, in a Yiddish tape. He said, when two people come into a shul, you have somebody, you hear his Yiddish, as I juicy Yiddish. You got somebody coming into shul, and he comes there with his frak, and his white beard and glistening blue eyes and his beautiful big black homburg. Yeah, and before we ask him anything, you propel him towards Mizrach. No, that's where he's supposed to go, propel him towards Mizrach. And then you get in this greasy guy with like a greasy anorak, you know, with his hat band all white, you know, and he's got like his old mobile phone hanging on his belt, and sneakers with some odd socks. And, you know, and you sort of like, you know, you shove past him to get a sitter. So Elliot says, Hot Seeker failed. Did you fail them? Did you test them? Do you know who's greater? Do you know who had bigger nishenis in life? The eager now and up. The eyes fool us. The eager now and up. Do you know who's greater? He looks greater. Do you know what this person's been through? Do you know what other person's been through? You don't know. I told him the chavarecha. Asher to get him a koimoy. Yosef said, Yosef was Kodem Shebachim. He was the youngest, smallest of the brothers. He's the youngest. They're all after him. Oh, silly little boy. Not only is he silly, he's driving us crazy. And not only that, he's taking away our portion of being together in Klal Yisrael. He's a Radif. He's a person's pursuer. He deserves to be killed. They completely misjudged the situation. They completely looked at somebody very, very big as somebody very, very small. This is something that Yosef is telling them. Yosef Kodem Sheba Achim. Yosef says, Ani Yosef. Remember that little kid you made fun of? I'm that Yosef. Look at me today. Yosef, by the way, when Paro died, became the Paro of Mitzrayim. Do you know that? No. He became the king of Mitzrayim, Pirkei de Blezer says. Yosef was the longest reigning Jewish king in history. He was the most powerful man. He ran. He lived and reigned over a huge, powerful empire. Ani Yosef. You didn't dream of this, did you? Ani Yosef. I'm Yosef. There's one person who rooted for me. There's one person who obviously there's one person who said, no, maybe he will become big one day. Don't make fun of him. Is that person still alive? Is my father still okay? Yeah, that person, only one person, but obviously the father, Yaakov Avinu, said maybe he will become great. There's nobody who's a nobody. We have to know that. There's nobody who's a nobody. Certain people we just push aside. Do we know who they are? Do you know how they've lived through Nisyonis? How these people are taking day-to-day struggles? Can we push away anybody? It's impossible. Impossible, Chas v'Shalom, to make any reckoning whatsoever. I said a story once over in the Miri Yeshiva. There's a tremendous one of the Roshivas there. Is I always say this. Asur Kabim Anova Yordel Olam. 10 portions of humility enter the world. Tisha Notli Yeshiva Smir. 10 mir took v'echol kolo im kule. The rest, everyone took the rest. Unbelievable anova. Unbelievable anova. There's no geyser. You see the Rosh Shiva. They have another Rosh Shiva. You know, it's just, there's no geyser. There's no. It's unbelievable. There's a certain gon olam, the Osher Reili, Zayn Gesundem Stag. When I came to the mir, he was a young man. Then he had a ginger beard. Now it's turned grey. He had a ginger beard. Very quiet, unassuming. He's a gon olam. His name is all over the world. So when I was there, there was a he gave shir in Miklat. Miklat is a bomb shelter, and don't give names. No, it has its own base medrash. Right then he had his own Miklat. The bomb shelter, probably a little bit bigger than this room, but with stairs going up. You go, it's double the size. No, a little bit bigger than this room. It's stairs going up. 200 people inside there, squashed in. You can't imagine it. Can't imagine guys hanging off the light bulbs, and. And you know, you come there and you've got your seat, which is Yarshan, you get Yerusha from this and this person, and that goes all the way down, and your Chavokas and Yerushas and Pishnai, all very complicated stuff. Anyway, he's coming there, so this new bocher comes with his new notepad, and he's sitting there, and he's waiting for the shir to start, and Osher hasn't come in yet. All of a sudden, this guy comes behind him and he says, excuse me, can I go through? No, go around the other way. Right, so stand up now, I'm losing my place, go around the other way. 30 seconds later, and she'll leak. So, do you mind if I go through? Cannot see I'm sitting down here. Please go the other way. This happens for a minute or so. And then, you know, the bocher says to him, we're waiting for shir to start. So, right, this guy's driving me nuts. It's not a guy driving you nuts, it's Reb Osher. He's trying to get through to shir. Do you want to let him through? Oh, you're Reb Osher. Oh, sorry. He said, no, no, say it. It's okay. You know, he walked through. Yeah, he didn't realize Reb Osher. You know, Nibbalum Bepanov. You know, this guy, the ginger beard, is driving him crazy. Go around somewhere else. You know, Reb Osher is one of the great dogs. Oh, you Nibbalum Bepanov. Ani Yosef, this little silly little fellow you've been talking about till now. Ani Yosef, I'm a big Yosef. Look at me today. Oida Vichai, the person rooted for me, the person believed in me. See, he's still alive. We never know what a person is. Don't push anyone away. If you're somebody who you believe is annoying, a person's upsetting you, a person don't think is very choshev, work and find out what is choshev about this person. Work and find out what makes a person tick. You'll see in every single Jew there is godless. The older you are, and the more you get to know people, and the more you have an appreciation of Avos Yisrael, you see that in every single person there's absolute godless. In one particular point, it doesn't mean it's a godless God, but there's godless, there's greatness in every Jew. And ni yoyseh oida v'chai, that's the second pshat. The third pshat is... Okay, that's an add-on to that. Yoyseh says in Atur Gezu Baderech. Yeah, Atur Gezu Baderech. I said this vote, this is one of my favorite votes. It's my own vote, and I think it's famous. Atur Gezu Baderech. Do not, you know, get angry along the way. So the Gemara of the sign is, Atur Gezu Baderech, Al-Tif-Islu Pesias Gassus. Do not make big steps. The Omar Mar, because Mar said, Pesia Gasa, a big step, Noiteles Achas Mechameshes Meos Meor Enof. Takes a 500th, Echo Mechamesh, 1/500th of a person's eyesight. More tiny stuff, you don't have a base. And if you want to somewhere else, you know, in other words, you make big steps, you lose your eyesight. Yeah? So if you want somewhere else, what do you do?
Shabbos.
How do you do it? So the Gemara is the Shulchan Aruch Queen's done already in Reish Ayin Aleph, if you'd, that while you're making Kiddush, you look at the candles. By saying Leichud, you look at the candles, and that gives you back your eyesight. Shatness. It all sounds very Kabbalistic. What's the idea? The idea is, during the week, we take big steps. What's big steps? We jump to conclusions. We don't go step by step, we jump to conclusions. Right, and by jump to conclusions, we blind ourselves. We don't see the real truth. We don't see the real person. We see somebody coming to shul, he's got a frak, he's chashuv. He's got an anorak, he's not. Yeah, he's wearing a black kappa, he's chashuv. He's wearing kippah for a guy, he's not. Come on! There's much more to life than that. Much more to life than that. Therefore we say, don't make sheer gaff, don't make big steps. Don't make big steps. You know why? Because it blinds you. At the end of the day, you don't see things the way you should be. How do you get your eyesight back? On Shabbos. When you stand there making kiddush. When you realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world. When you realize what every Jew is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created Yidden to be special. Then you get your eyesight back again. You see the Ore Einot, you get an eyesight back. There again you see that where you really are. The mistakes, the blindness you got during the week, you regain when you got Menuchas HaNefesh, when you actually relax and realize that the person doesn't mean to be so nasty, he's actually a much nicer person than you imagine, and a Yid is very chosh, everything's Hashkocha Protis, then you get your eyesight back. That is Kepshutoi, what happens over here with getting your eyesight back. In other words, you see somebody coming in, don't jump to conclusions. Ani Yosef, you thought I was a silly little kid? I wasn't. I was somebody who was preparing myself for Gadlus. Second Peshat. The third Peshat is that this is very, very scary. This is petrifying. There are people who go through life, with Mesiras Nefesh Mamush, with absolute Mesiras Nefesh. They go through life with Mesiras Nefesh, imagining that what they're doing is a tremendous act of Avodas Hashem. I'll be specific. I don't think I'm afraid anyone's going to hit. There are certain people who claim to be in a Torah Kata. They're not in a Torah Kata, because in Torah Kata we're a chosh of a group of people. They're a group, a break off the old Torah Kata, who are going now hugging and kissing the Iranian president, all for the sake of breaking Zionism. They're denying they're going to Holocaust denial seminars. Yeah, they're kissing, they gave him a present, they gave the Iranian president a present. They're talking about how Jews are terrible people living in Israel and doing terrible things to the Arabs. They're wearing big Palestinian flags. These people is a fringe group of people doing that. And you look at them, they're wearing strimals, they're wearing Bekicher. They're going on Shabbos with strimal and Bekicher, with a little thing hang on that they can go there on Shabbos. Yeah, and these people honestly believe, I believe that these people believe they're doing the right thing. But you know what? These people are rotzim, they're roitzim, and they're tremendous men of Chil Hashem. Osid litinessa, then they're going to come to Gehenim, and Rachman al Islam, where they're going to end up a lesser do tshuva. Rachman al Islam. Terrible! Terrible! So I spoke to one of the Rav Weiss about this. Rav Weiss is a guy with a Yerushalayim. And I said, what's going to be? He said, the Chebra don't have a Rebbe. And if you don't have a Rebbe, that's where you lead. That's where you go. Without a Rebbe, without guidance, without Messiah, a person can be Moisa Nefesh to go to Gehenim. And you know what? They can have Simon Min HaShemayim. They can have Nisim. They can have Ashkocha Protis. Wow, look at this. You know, it pumped works, and this happened to be like, I just got $1 million from this and this connection. It must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me. Wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing you even more. But Derech, She'odon Reitze Leilech Malicha Moisai. The Derech, the path a person chooses, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will lead him upon that path. However wrong it is. Because that is the koyach of Bechira in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him power to choose. There are so many examples of this. People believing in false beliefs in Yiddishkeit. Being Moisen Nefesh for his false beliefs. Because they do not have a Rebbe. Klal Yisrael have Mesira. Klal Yisrael have Mesira. Klal Yisrael have something called Mesira that is our most powerful tool. Our most powerful weapon. In Yeshiva, why are we learning Gemara? Maybe we should learn Halacha the whole day. Or maybe we should be davening the whole day. Or maybe we should be doing chesed half the day. Why do we do what we're doing? The Torah says, I don't know. I don't know why we're doing. But I know one thing. We have Masaira. The Regina Rebbe went to the Brisker Rav and proved to him that Tcheles and Tzitzis are the real Tcheles. And the Brisker Rav said, very interesting. You know, you've convinced me halachically it could be. But the Tatzel hot as Reinish Gemach. My father never did this. That is my answer. I don't have that Masaira. And he can prove it and this and that. But Tata Reinish Gemach. My father didn't do it. That is the answer to everything. if you don't have Masayah, that is the answer. It's not. It's off. It doesn't come onto my radar. That's it. Yosef and his brothers had a major machlekas over here. All different machlekas. The Keshe Misha brings down. It's the Gedda. It's Klal Yisrael before the Chumrah, the Kula. There's a whole process drachma about a whole din Torah. And they paskin him the Misa. They brought a basin together. The shift they caught. The Shabbatim, the most holy of the holies. Mamash Kodesh Kodosh and Mamash. Malachim. They sat down and they made a psak din the Yisrael Misa. You know what they included in that Chayim? That it said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you may not give the Nevuah to Yaakov or to Yitzhak that Yosef is alive. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forced to be put into that Chayim. But Yisrael could not tell them. Yitzhak and Yaakov could not be told. Maybe Yitzhak could. But this was involved in the Chayim as well, I'm not sure. But Yaakov could not be told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved. Now, can HaKadosh Baruch Hu be involved in the Chayim that is wrong? The Teretz is? Yes. Because that is a Koyach HaBechira. The Koyach HaBechira is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go along with you if that is what you chose to do. Loi b'shamayim hi. It is not from Shemayim. Giving any proof from Shemayim, it's nothing. Emes me'eretz titzmach. The Emes comes from the Eretz. It comes from Shemayim. It comes from the Oretz. From your Rebbe's down in the Oretz. That is Masayra. Says Yosef. Ani Yosef. I'm Yosef. Look what you did to me. Look at all the years of suffering I went through. Look at the suffering your father went through. Ani Yosef. You're going to say to me, you deserved it? No. You know what? You could have a whole din Torah, but I've got one tiny against you. Is our father still alive? Why didn't he go and ask Masayra? That is my tiny on you. The fact that I suffered. Okay. If I deserved to suffer, I would have suffered. But Hoida Bichai, we've still got our father here, we've still got Das Torah, we've still got Tzmei Chachamim. Why didn't he ask him? Hoida Bichai, he's still alive, why didn't he ask him? That is a Taina. Rabbi Chaim Kaufman, a Rebbe, used to say this for once at the Pirchim Seim, this is about Torah. And he said, Rabbi Yisai, I beg of you, if you don't know, he said it in the good Gateshead English, if you don't know, ask! Ask! And he screamed, ask! That is what you have to do. If we don't know, we've got to ask. Don't ask Shilas, you know, is this a Kazayas? You know, or Berekas in the Brachas. It's all very nice. But when it becomes a big Shilas of learning certain Sfarim, they have no Messiah Bechlau. Some Sfarim have no Messiah Bechlau. Written about some modern gay guy. Who knows where his Messiah came from? And that's going to be our Das Torah. We have Messiah. We have all the way from Avraham Avinu. We can prove all the way down exactly where we're coming from. We have got to know who is our Rebbe. Who are the big people that you've got to follow? And if you don't know, we ask. And if you don't ask, we can be completely following our entire life, believing fully that we're going the right way, and ending up in Gehenna. That is the idea. So in other words, there are three things in this parasha. Number one, the concept of Don Kafkus. In other words, know that you can be creeping yourself up, you can be contradicting yourself. And Olam Haba, the way to get out of this contradiction, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ask you how to judge a case, is to learn in this world Bidon Kavchus. Okay? Number two is the idea of realizing that everyone's Choshev, to make people your friends, to make yourself Choshev. And thirdly is the idea of making yourself a Rav. And I think you can encapsulate in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, in Ovis, where's the Ovis there? Mishnah says in Ovis and Perik Aleph, Yeshua ben Parach v'nitza aveli kivnu mehen. Yeshua ben Parach yo'ime. Afse lecho rav u'knei lecho chover ve'vedon is called odin l'kavtschus. That is his shir. Afse lecho rav is the third thing. Make yourself a rav. Ani yeshua oida v'chai. Did you ask your father? Afse lecho rav. Make yourself a rav. You have Messiah. The second b'shah is u'knei lecho chover. U'knei lecho chover is the idea of don't ever underestimate anybody else. Knele chochover, appreciate every single person. Nobody's nobody. And third of all is vehevedon is called odin kavtschus. Learn to be don kavtschus down here, because otherwise you'll be tripping yourself up in the future. You'd be mechiach yourself for the wrong thing. This is this Mishnah, and I believe that this is a message Yeshua is giving over to his Robert.